Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. I should say good morning, everyone, on the East Coast of the United States. It's Alan Levy, and you're on the you're listening to the Alan Levy Show live on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for joining me today. I am the founder and CEO of Blog Talk Radio, and I do with my own show on Blog Talk Radio, which can be found at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. So we're doing a special show today, and we're very excited that Trigger Gum is here in the studio. Actually, he's in his own hotel room, and I'm in New Jersey, but our studio, to talk about what he's doing with MTV tonight. Lots of exciting things going on with Trigger. Trigger, for those of you that don't know, and many of our audience may not know, that Trigger is originally from San Clemente, California, Orange County. He is a motocross world record holder. He is a great guy and someone we were just chatting with a few moments. And let's bring him on and talk about what's going on in his life now and today and lots of exciting things. Trigger, how are you?
I'm doing great. And thank you so much. It's a great honor to be on your show.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. So we are live now, and anyone who would like to call in with a question, I'll give you the phone number, and you can call it 347-677-0649, and 347-677-0649. There's also a chat going on, and you could find that chat on our homepage. You should see it over there under Alan Levy. So, Trigger, tell me what's happening tonight. You're going to be on MTV and tonight from 6 to 9 with the Jackass folks. And what's this whole show about? Tell me about what's going on.
Well, the guys from Jackass are doing like a 24-hour takeover from 12 noon to 12 noon the following day. And a guy by the name of Matt Hoffman, the Condor, he's a bike rider, BMX professional bike rider, he's doing an Evel Knievel tribute. So a bunch of us got together, me, Travis Pastrana, and this guy Psycho, and we did some stunts in memory of Evel Knievel.
Right. Now, where were these stunts held? And I know there were some issues with weather and so on when some of these things were done.
It was right outside of Oklahoma City, Stillwater, in Guy Cooper land. And, yeah.
So what was going on that day? I know there was, wasn't there lots of activity with weather and tornadoes and crazy stuff?
Yeah, anytime that you're going to do something in the Midwest at wintertime, you know, you're going to end up having to fight the elements, you know, wintertime and snow and rain and ice and stuff like that. So, yeah, we ran into pretty much every kind of weather you could possibly imagine. But we did actually get a couple days where we could slide in a couple hours. So, yeah, we hit it hard in those hours, and the show should be really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And let's talk a little about how you got started in this. And I saw from your website that you started riding relatively late at the age of 21, but then I see some other things that you really started at, you know, 6, 7 years old, right? I mean, how did you get into this?
You know what? I can remember from day one, I remember just running around the house acting like I was riding a motorcycle. I don't know where it came from, but because my father wasn't into motorcycles, nobody in my family were into motorcycles. But I just loved any two-wheel vehicle, and I would just run around the house, you know, acting like I was on a bike, doing jumps off the couch and stuff like that. And then I
so your mom was pleased with that.
She was probably so annoyed. So that's probably why I'm so tough. She was always smacking me around because I was making too much noise. But then I ended up talking the neighbor kid and actually let me ride a bike. My family moved from Orange County, California to Hamilton, Montana when I was about 5, and I had this kid that lived across the street. His name was Lee Abel, and he had a little mini bike, and I remember telling him, yeah, I've ridden bikes forever, dude, let me ride it. And he let me take off on it, and I took off my first ride, and I got like whiskey throttle where you hold the gas wide open, but we had a pretty big ranch. And I went around that ranch about 2 or 3 times, and finally my dad ripped me off the bike, and from there it just blossomed.
And how old were you then?
I was like 5.
5?
Yeah, I think at that point I realized that the word fear and impossible were not in my vocabulary. You know, I was just, it's one of those things that I just, I had a passion to ride a motorcycle. And after that day, all I could think about is riding a bike. So I ended up from there. We moved back to Orange County, California, and I remember just any chance I could get to watch anybody ride a motorcycle or, you know, jump my bike, or, you know, I played with the little Evel Knievel toy, and it just blossomed from there into, like, you know, into just a full-blown career.
So when Evel Knievel, you know, I'm looking at the time that Evel Knievel did the canyon jump, which I recall, I was 15, I'm older than you are, but
yeah.
In 1974, so you were around that same that age. I don't know, do you remember when he did that canyon jump? Because that's still, I recall fear. I mean, I recall watching that on TV when I was 15, and I was just, you know, blown away by what he did there.
You know what, I can remember my dad, you know, calling, going, hey, Evel Knievel's going to do a jump today, you know, it's going to be on Wide World of Sports, and I remember all of us coming in and watching his events, and yeah, I remember that day when he actually shot himself into that canyon, you know, and I thought, you know, Evel was like a 9-foot-tall guy that ate bolts for breakfast, you know, I didn't think he was really a human, but that's the only guy I kind of looked up to over, you know, when I was young, and yeah, I watched all of his stuff. I really studied his every movement when I was a kid.
Right. I can imagine. It is a huge impression on people. Look, we have some calls, actually, on the switchboard. So let's take a couple of calls, and this is, and we'll see. So we have a 949-786. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm calling in to wish Trigger luck. Trig, it's Terry. Love you, babe.
What's up, Terry?
Terry, where are you from, Terry?
Originally South Africa.
Oh, so, okay. Now, where are you now? You're obviously friends with Trigger.
I'm in California. Yeah, I try to take care of Trigger as much as I can when Aaron, his wife, calls. He's got a babysitter guy.
I need a lot of babysitters.
He does.
Are you like a nurse or something? You like help him when his bones break?
No. That's what his wife does.
Oh, okay.
I kind of.
So, what's the craziest thing that you've ever seen Trigger do?
Oh. Trey, can I bring it up, babe?
You can say anything you want.
Fucking eat it, dude.
Okay.
Oklahoma and sales meeting. But Trigger's awesome. I mean, everything Trigger does is crazy, okay?
Okay.
She was actually there when I was attempting to jump the length of a football field, and I came up like 2 foot short, and I ended up breaking my neck and my back. It was a really bad fall. And it was so crazy that, you know.
Oh, that is crazy.
I remember waking up and I was like in a broom closet in the hospital. And I was just going, what just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And, why were you in a broom closet?
I don't know. It just, like, from.
After the medication?
Yeah, after the medication, after a couple of days, you wake up and you just don't know where you are.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know,
okay.
You know, so many things go through your mind. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I'm alive. Oh, I can wiggle my toes. I'm not dead. You know, it was just crazy. And then she was there, too. I ride for a company called Lost Energy Drink, and they were doing their sales, their annual sales meeting with all their venues and stuff like that. So I told Terry that I would do a jump there, and it was my first jump back for my broken neck and broken back. And
you rushed it.
I didn't want to come up short again, so when I hit the ramp, I just gave it a little too much fuel, and I ended up jumping out into the flats and blowing the wheels off the bike and breaking my back again.
Well, I would hate to be your chiropractor or orthopedist.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I probably would. I could retire. You could be my only client.
Hey, I'll be honest with you. My orthopedic surgeon's driving a Bentley around with my license plate on it.
I'm sure.
Been lying.
Well, yeah, that's really cool. So thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Good luck, Trey.
All right. We'll see
you. All right. Bye. We got another call from the same area. So you must have. This is a Trigger Gump family. Hi. How are you? You're on Blog Talk Radio. 235.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
What's your name? What's your name and where are you calling from?
Huh?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, what's up?
How are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Mike.
Mike? Okay. You have a question for Trigger?
Mike the Midget.
Oh, Mike the Midget. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, cool, Mike. How are you? You're going to be on tonight on Jackass, I heard.
Yeah, me and Trig, like, we did this big, giant jump together.
So what? Before we go on, I know he's a very special person in your life, Trigger. Why don't you explain who's on now with us? Big Mike.
Yeah, this is Big Mike. I'm the midget that jumps with Trigger. We did, like, a 100-foot distance jump and set the record for two people on one bike, like a tandem.
Right. Now, Trigger, you still on?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you want to introduce everyone in the audience to Big Mike?
Actually, I was doing a jump out in Miami, Oklahoma, and they were flying us in on a helicopter, and Big Mike was on the helicopter. He was doing Monster Garage with Jesse James, and we just started talking on the plane right in. We were going to do actually talk to the news and do a press conference, and we were in the helicopter, and I go, Big Mike, you know, we started talking, and I go, you know, would you ever be willing to do it, you know, a tandem jump with me? And he was like, hell yeah. And I go, oh, it's on. So we actually got out of the helicopter, and Big Mike, in front of all the news, just goes and just blurted it out that we're going to do this world record jump. And then from there, we just became friends, and he's a really super good guy, and he's from Oklahoma. So every time I go out there, I go and hang out with him, and I met his family and stuff like that. And then I was going to do the world record jump in Miami, Oklahoma at the Buffalo Run, and I ended up crashing out and breaking myself all up. And so we didn't get to do it. And so we were down doing this MTV thing, and I go, Mike, you ready? And he goes, yep. I didn't give him any time to think. So I just threw him on the bike.
I was just like, all right, let's go, man.
So you just went on, Big Mike. What do you think? You just get on there and you said, you know, it's not taking a little ride in the neighborhood over here. You're talking about a 100-foot jump.
Yeah, just get on and go. I mean,
get on and go.
Yeah, you know, little Mikey, he doesn't know the word fear, and
he doesn't.
You know, I popped him on the bike before he could even think about it, and next thing you know. Well, I'll let you watch it, but
that's on tonight. At what time are they going to be showing that?
They start at 7, and I think the show is going to air at 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay, cool.
So,
hey, Mike, thanks. We're going to take some more calls.
Yeah, cool deal.
All right, great.
Hey,
good luck. Well, I know you don't need it. You already did it, but anyway. All right, cool. Let's take another call here. 949-637. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
Very good. This is Joey, a friend of Trigger's.
Hey, Joey. Where are you calling from?
Cali.
Look at this. You're a good friend. You woke up at 8 in the morning to be on Blog Talk Radio with him today. Cool.
Well, Trigger's one of the boys that you just got to support every way, all the way, and in any way you can.
And how long have you known him?
I've only known Trigger for a few years through a group of friends that we've both known pretty much our whole lives. And ever since I met him, it's kind of funny. He just does crazy stuff that... I like seeing him. It's just a pleasure to watch him do this stuff because I don't want to.
What's going on, Joey? It's good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, Trigger. I didn't know. How's it?
Yeah, Joey's probably heard the legends just in my town of, you know, like growing up in San Clemente, there were so many strong athletes that were so influential. If you didn't do something damn near suicidal, nobody would ever even know who you were. So, the whole town definitely took it to a whole nother level, and I think that's where I got all my inspiration of doing this crazy stuff, is just the town I grew up in was just out of control.
Yeah, I think the water in San Clemente is what it is, because, like, your bro, Nathan Fletcher, one of the craziest guys in the world that helped you started the Metal Militia together, and most people in the world don't even know that, and it's like, the people that Trigger in that town, I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of talent, of crazy talent that comes out of that town.
Yeah.
You guys are a really tight-knit group. It's pretty cool, bro. I'm stoked to be your bro.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, it's kind of odd that just so many pro athletes would come out of such a little town, you know, that were just at the top of their sports. And, you know, it's just an honor to grow up there.
Well,
so,
Trigger,
I got to ask Trigger a question.
Yeah, please.
Trigger, are you going to... I know you're doing your MTV thing tonight. Are you looking forward to bashing that world record if you get a better chance, of better conditions?
Definitely. You know, I haven't been able to sleep since we left Oklahoma. So it's definitely on my to-do list. You know, like I said, I got to pretty much bring the torch back, you know, to the United States. Evil kind of handed the torch to me, and like I got to represent like the Daredevils that started this thing and bring that wide red, white, and blue patriotic trophy back to the United States, where I can wear that number one patch on my arm with pride.
Cool.
Right.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Good luck. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call.
Later,
cool.
All right, man.
Let's take a couple more calls. We have a 517, and Barry, we'll get to you in a minute. 517, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, guys. This is John Sweet.
Hey, John. How are you?
We're doing great. Doing great. My son Forrest wanted to ask Trigger a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here he is.
Hi,
how are you?
Good.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
How old are you?
What?
How old?
I'm 9.
You're 9. Okay.
Yeah.
And you like him to, you know, have you heard of Trigger? Have you followed, read about him and seen his stuff?
No, I just like playing with bikes.
You do? Okay. Cool. What's your question?
What was Trigger's dangerous jump?
My most dangerous jump? I think in Queensland, Australia, at Ipswich Raceway, it was the night of records, and that's when I jumped a motorcycle and actually got the world record. My ramp was 80 feet long, and it's 20 feet high, and I hit it at over 90 miles an hour, and I was about 85 to 90 feet high, and when I landed, it was almost damn near suicidal. So that was probably one of the craziest jumps I've ever done.
What
are you scared?
Well, you know what? You almost can't be scared. You're just in that zone like a gunfighter or something like that. And, no, I wasn't scared, but, how could I put it? I was frightened, but not scared.
What do you tell a kid? What do you tell a kid who may want to get into this? I mean, what would if you had a kid, I don't know if you have children or not.
No, I actually don't. I got two dogs, but,
okay.
If I was to tell anybody, you know, really think about, you know, getting into it, because it is dangerous. It's very, very dangerous, and you eventually will go down and hurt yourself. So if you're prepared for the consequences and you got a passion for it, you know, just do all your homework and just try not to go over your head and just try to be safe as possible and have as much fun as possible. That's what I'm doing.
There's another lesson to be learned here, Forrest, in that you can become an orthopedic surgeon with a client like Trigger and drive around in a Bentley, and your dad knows what a Bentley is. So you could get all the benefits of knowing a guy like Trigger Gum, but you don't have to deal with that. You can live through Trigger.
Yeah, I recommend that. I recommend actually a golf club or a tennis racket.
Right. Well, thanks, Forrest. Have a good day. Enjoy the show.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, cool. So we have the famous Barry Farber on now. I would say the one and only, but he is the one and only Barry. Barry, how are you?
How are you, Alan Trigger? I'm having so much fun listening to this show.
Yeah, thanks, man. How you doing, Barry?
How are you, Trigger?
Yeah, I'm great. A little cold in here. Here in New York City, it's actually snowing again. So, but I'm loving it.
We're walking around the city, and he decided maybe not to wear a coat, but this daredevil took the cold.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got to mind trick yourself and just make yourself think that it's warm, you know.
How do you like this platform here? You're going to have all the people around the world call.
Yeah, it's really good, you know. The technology, I just got into it this morning. I kind of looked at it yesterday, but yeah, it's a great thing, you know. Definitely the technology is great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
I put him on the switchboard, so he's seeing that. And anyone, again, who would like to call and ask Trigger a question. Any family members, anyone else, anybody from the Jackass crowd, we'd like to talk about that. It's 347-677-0649. So tell me about Johnny Knoxville and what he was like and these guys. I mean, you're hanging with them. They're hugely successful.
Yeah.
But they don't go near the type of stuff you do in terms of, you know, danger. Correct?
Well, yeah, no. You know, we all got together. You know, Matt Hoffman called us. We had a conference call with Knoxville and Pastrana and me and a couple of the other lads. And, you know, we were talking about the stunts that we wanted to do. You know, Travis wanted to do a triple backflip. And you know, I wanted to do a, you know, the overall long distance jump, and we talked about maybe some tandem stuff and stuff like that. And then Knoxville was Johnny's like, hey, you know, I want to do something with you guys. And Travis was, would you be willing to do a double backflip to dirt? And Knoxville was like, yeah, I'll do it, you know. And I don't think he was really thinking about it, you know, committing like that. And Travis is, all right, we're going to do it, you know. And so when we went out to the venue, old Johnny, I'm all, Johnny, so you're going to do that double backflip? And he's all, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, well, you kind of committed on the phone that you were going to do this stunt, you know. And it's completely, you know, it's probably a 90% chance you're going to crash, you know. And he backpedaled and he got away from that one real quick. But then, you know, everybody was doing their stuff and he wanted to be a part of the deal. And he ended up trying, you know, to ride a motorcycle, which he has no experience or no business doing. And he ended up hurting himself super bad. So, you know. I think he has a new appreciation for what we do and how dangerous it is.
Hey, Alan, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, please, sir.
You know, Trigger, I wanted you to share with the audience what goes through your mind, not just the day before, but as you're, you know, a few minutes before the jump, and the kind of physics that are involved when that motorcycle hits that ramp and what goes on in the air, and we were discussing this. I just think that's fascinating about the whole jump and just your mental preparation and what goes on in that you know, frame of mind you get in.
Well, you know, you're in that zone where you almost got to be like a gunfighter. I don't think anybody that's ever played with a ball or you know, any kind of basketball, baseball, or football players ever had those thoughts go through your head. Maybe like a military person that's going out on the front line. But it really plays mind tricks with you, and you got to have total focus, and you've got to be 110% confident in what you're doing. And then you really can't think about a mechanical failure. You know, you go through the bike, but you really can't think about, like, oh, if my chain breaks, I'm going to die, you know. And then also when you wake up in the morning, you know, you've got to be willing to pay the ultimate price, you know, your life, because that's what happens if you have something go wrong. So you get over that stage, and you just got fire-breathing pupils, and you get on the bike, and it just feels good, and you go at the ramp at, you know, 90 miles an hour, and just totally committed, and when you hit the ramp, it pops you up, and a lot of people don't know this, but if you slow down the rear wheel or speed it up, it controls the pitch and attitude of the motorcycle. So once you go off, you can literally start flying it like an airplane with the clutch and the brake and the gas. So you fly it, you come off the top, and then you fly it, you get your pitch and attitude, and then you pinpoint landing, and then right before you do a touchdown, you let go of the clutch and you give it full gas, and it drops the back wheel down, and then you power out of it down the landing. And if it's all done perfect, it's one of the most, it's the best thing I've ever felt in my life. You know, it's like literally flying an airplane without no wings, and you land just perfect like a feather. And
there's not a lot of room for error, though, in these things, right? I mean, what's the margin of error here?
Everything has got to be absolutely perfect, and everything has got to go absolutely perfect. There's no second chance, you know. Or you wake up in a broom closet going, well, how did I get here? If you're lucky.
Right.
And then you got the, you know, you got the 6 months on the couch, you know, and hopefully you got a good girl behind you, because if not, you'll starve to death.
And you do.
I do.
And you do.
I'm really lucky, you know. Like I said, with I think every great man's had a great woman, so I'm really fortunate.
Well, Barry, thanks for your call.
Yeah, great to talk to you. All right, I'll see you later. Good luck tonight, Trey.
All right, thanks, Barry.
Take care.
All right. One of the things that I was reading about when I was doing some research here, where Todd Potter, on that same article that had that indicated you grew up in Evel Knievel's town, which you didn't, of course, as you discussed.
Yeah.
Was Todd Potter mentioning that the bikes now, you know, are around 200 pounds, and when they were 400 pounds when Evel did it, and what's the impact, do you think, that is on technology, on the record that was set then versus the record set now?
You know what? I was I became a really good friend of Evel Knievel's. After I set the world record, he left me a phone message, and I became really close with him.
Was he nice to you when you some guys they didn't want the records beat? Well, how was he when you beat the record?
Well, you know what? It was he was super nice and super he appreciated what I had done for the sport, because I think there was a generation of just scared people that didn't follow in Evel's footsteps, and I think we kind of brought it back to the mainstream and really put it out there. And if you look at the videos, you can see the danger factor and see how we're flying the bikes now. So Evel saw that and he goes, man, you're jumping a bike the length of a football field, and he could see it in our eyes that we had a passion to carry on his legacy.
Right.
So I was up at his in Butte, Montana. I'd go up every year to Butte, Montana, to the Evel Knievel Days. He has a 3-day festival. It's all free, and all the different companies around the town pitch in. And Spanky Spangler does these stunts, and we do a long distance motorcycle jump. Like every 15 minutes, there's a high wire act, kind of like a carny, old school, really good vibe. So I was up there, and I was checking out all his bikes, and they had his ramp that he did at Madison Square Garden set up at distance at 120 feet. And I was looking at it, and I don't think I would hit it on the modern-day motorcycles. It's like a wedge ramp. It looked so crazy that I couldn't see it,
I mean, it was just very narrow? It was
just like there was no transition. It was just when you would go into it, you would just hit a 45-degree angle wood, and then it was only like 4 feet wide, and then the landing was only like 6 feet wide, and it just didn't look makeable, And I look at things I really analyze things and try to put it together, and if I can see it, I can do it. And I just didn't see it, So he was up against tremendous odds.
How long does it take you to plan an event like this? You're doing this, you were attempting that jump, and then you did the tandem thing when the weather wasn't great. But how long would it typically take you to really scope it out? And who helps you? Do you have engineers to look at stuff and wind velocities? I mean, how specific? I would think you'd really have to dig in on that.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. When I was a little bit younger before I crashed, I was a true daredevil. I didn't put anything into it. I would just go out there and I thought I was invincible. After crashing and like I said, breaking my back and my neck and then breaking my back again, now I look at it as I got to do all my homework. I have to go in there with a game plan. I got to have a stunt coordinator. Usually Spanky Spangler comes out. I really do my homework. So it's a calculated risk now. It's not just flying by the seat of my pants like I used to. So I really do put time and effort. You almost got to, because your life, you only get one chance, and it's life-threatening.
How long would it take you to plan a world record event? A month, 2 months, and go out there a few times beforehand?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just trying to get into how you would do that.
You basically got to, right now we're using dirt landings, so you got to move about 10,000 yards of dirt in. You got to have a 35-foot pile, and that's going to take you about a week to build. And then you want to set up my takeoff ramp. That's going to take you a day. I'm going to need a crew of 8 guys and then 4 guys to do all the dirt work. So you're looking at a crew of, up to 15 people.
It's expensive.
It's crazy. It's a big undertaking to do an event. Then I got to get there at least, 2 weeks beforehand and do all my calculations and get comfortable and stuff like that. And then by the time the crowd shows up, you've got enough time to, if you have anything that you need to fix or change, you have to do that. So that's why I like to have a week and a half before the jump, just to finely tune everything and get the bikes to its, the bike's got to be perfect, the ramp's got to be perfect, the landing's got to be perfect, everything's got to be perfect, the weather.
Right. And you have a last, maybe I shouldn't say the last meal, but,
And then if the planets align, you just throw on your lid and you Just
you have a good luck charm. You have. You must. Do you have any good luck? Are you superstitious with stuff like that? You know, I've got the same boots. You know, evil boots or
oh man,
a helmet given to me by you know.
You know what I always
an astronaut or
I am superstitious. You know, I always like to have someone with me. Like if I'm driving a race car or something, I'll put a coin, one of the president's heads on there. So I always have like a coin or something on my bike, just to have someone with me.
Well, what about racing and like car racing and things like that? I mean, is that, do you see yourself maybe getting into that? And I know you're.
Yeah, I'm really into it. Like my best friend Cameron Steele, he's got a trophy truck team and he does all the Baja races. So I've driven some Class One cars and some other stuff, and I really do like Baja and the off road, you know, like trophy trucks. So yeah, I'm really big into that stuff. You know, I go down to Baja 3 times a year. I do the 250, the 500, and then the Baja 1000, and I have a really good time down there just participating in that sport. And
cool.
And any kind of two-wheel sport too, like a road racing, hill climbing, enduro. I'm out at the track doing motos. Just anything I can do on a motorcycle or a vehicle, I'm really into.
That's great. And what is your objective? I mean, what are you looking to do? I mean, you could break world records. You're looking to take. You want to get into this Jackass thing. I mean, that's a great franchise. You know.
You know what? I just kind of do my own thing. I love jumping motorcycles at distance. I would like to have bring the torch back to the United States and have the overall Guinness Book of World Records. And I haven't been able to sleep since Robbie Madison took it away from me at the beginning of the year.
Now, where is Robbie Madison? Is he Australia?
Yeah, he's from Australia. He's one of my good friends, and I did some jumps when I did the world record over there. I let him use my ramp and kind of helped him in his career. So, and then Seth, too. Those are all my tight friends. So we're going to try to get it together as a group and try to build our sport and, you know, take it to the next level where I think it should be. And I know that Evo would want that, and all of his fans and friends and family and his old crew would like that. So that's my goals. And then also I'd like to do some other stuff. Like I want to go to Lake Plaza off the big 120-millimeter ski jump. And I got some other ideas to just do some other motorcycle jumps.
That's cool. What's your family think about it now? Your parents and
the thing
that started when you were six, riding on the car on the couches.
Oh, my poor dad. My poor mom and dad. My mom's super supportive, but my dad's just a nervous wreck. He's in big business in Southern California, a company called Clay Valve. So he's always trying to buy me off to not do these jumps. So,
well, if you'd like to call in, your dad can call in. We'd love to talk to him.
Yeah.
347-677-0649. And so that's what he's telling you. He said, look, it's enough already. And
you know,
name you Trigger Gummer. That's not your real name, is it?
Actually, that's his name, too. And it was my grandfather's on the third. So,
really?
I don't know where it came from, but
I mean, with a name like Trigger Gum, you gotta be the motorcycle
yeah.
Daredevil.
I was getting picked on a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, you were born to be this. So
yeah.
You know, but how many? You've been doing it a long time. Don't they get kind of? They say it's enough already, but they know you're gonna do what you got to do.
Yeah, you know what? It's just something that I love. I remember my dad looking at the bike because I've always been into bikes. If I had any spare money, I'd be at the bike shop buying parts or buying a new bike. And he's like, you know, when are you going to give that up and, you know, do something where you can make some money? And so over throughout my career, you know, and now, you know, becoming the champion of the world and being at the top of your sport, I'm sure he's proud. I see it in his eyes. He doesn't say it, but, you know, I know that he knows. I know that he really is proud of me. So, you know, as soon as I get that fire that leaves my heart, then I'll quit. But until then, you know, I'm going to take it to the next level.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone's an individual, and they do what they, you know, need to do. What is the actual record? How many feet is it?
Right now it's 321 feet. And
your high, and your longest jump was how far?
At 310 I crashed.
At 310 you crashed. Was that wasn't the football, that was 300 feet, right?
Yeah, that's when I crashed in Miami, Oklahoma.
So you really feel like you can do that, the 321. Now, what speed do you have to be at the top of the ramp? I read that you were only up to 85 miles an hour on the one you crashed, and you were at like 275 or 280 when it crashed on another jump, right?
Yeah, you know what, I've made my ramp a little different now, the angles and stuff, so I want to hit it at 100 miles an hour. So, you know, everyone can kind of put that into their, you know, into their brain. If they're going down the freeway and they're going 100 miles an hour and they look outside, it seems like bullet fast, and then imagine hitting a ramp at that speed. So everyone can kind of grasp that. And
I'm getting chills just thinking about that.
Yeah, it's
100 miles an hour.
Yeah, 100 miles an hour, and then I'd be up over 350 feet.
And how high would you go?
Well, like in Australia, I was too high, because once you start falling, you fall. They estimated when I landed it was 20 G's, so it bent back half of my bike, and I put some flat spots in my wheels. So I was too high. 85 feet is too high. So I mellowed out my ramp, and when I mellowed out the ramp, you got to go faster. Because if you don't go as high, you got to go faster. So
I would think like a. I don't know. If I was you, and of course I would never be you, to do this. But like, have some physics person be there and say, you know, you need to, at this trajectory at 100 miles an hour on a ramp that's this size, you would need to be at a 83.2 feet. And then, you know, don't you think that would really help?
Well, you know what? I actually have done my homework, and at 100 miles an hour, I'd be right there. So
you would be. You would be at how high though?
Oh, I'm going to be 65 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
So
65 feet high, so that's going to get you to 350 feet.
Yeah, and that would get me, I'd be 20 feet lower than I was in Australia. So that's when, you know, all my math came together. I figured that was the perfect number.
And
everyone kind of relate to the 100 miles an hour.
Who builds? I mean, obviously that bike needs to hit that number, right? So who does the work on your bike?
I got a sponsor. It's Service Honda, and what we do is they take a 254 stroke CRF and they put a 500 cc two stroke motor into it, and it's a special construction Service 500, and then we tune it from there. You know. We send it out, and FMF does the motor, and Racetech does the suspension. Dunlop gives me tires and wheels, and you know.
So there's a lot of sponsorship opportunities in this.
Oh yeah, you know, Lost Clothing and Lost Energy and Hoven and Metal Militia and Troy Lee Gear and you know Ape Painting. I mean, they all come together and really help me out. And without them, I couldn't do any of this stuff. You know.
Right. Well, I would imagine. I mean, to hit that at 100 miles an hour, you've got to really be, you know, that bike has to be perfect.
Yeah, it kind of grabs you by the boo-boo.
Yeah. So why would you, I mean, if the record's 320, why are you shooting for 350?
Well, to be honest with you, I would like to shoot for 322, but I have a feeling that I'm going to have to go a little farther than that, you know, just because, you know, just to bring the danger back to the sport. So,
and something else just occurred to me. Would you do, you know, go to Colorado or in an area where, you know, when you play baseball in Colorado, the ball flies out of the park? I mean, does that influence the distance?
Well,
the air, I would imagine. So where would you want to do this 350-foot jump?
I would do it. I would like to do it in Vegas. You know, that seems like the Mecca, and that's where evil kind of cut his teeth, and the town knows, you know, if you walk in there and you think of long distance motorcycle jumping, you think of Las Vegas. So everybody gets it there, and a lot of towns, they don't get it, you know. So I think that is the place where this needs to be done.
Yeah. So what's your time frame? What's your plan?
I got my ramp all set up in Oklahoma right now at distance. So I'm just waiting for a null in the weather, and I'm going to go try to do something there, and then try to put it together and just keep this momentum. You know, it's great that my sport's starting to get recognized, and that, you know, we're starting to get these deals on television and stuff like this, like the MTV. You know, there's no other athlete that could get an hour-long slot on primetime television, you know, we're really fortunate that we got something special that everyone can kind of relate to. So I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and hopefully I can be on top.
That's cool. We have a couple more minutes here. If you would like to call in, please do, 347-677-0649. What is the format for tonight's show? You know, explain to everyone what's going to happen tonight.
You know what? I actually really don't know. They've kind of hinted and stuff like that, but they kind of left us out in the dark. So I'm going to have to tune in. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants like the audience too, you know. It should be great, though, you know. They got a lot of good stuff that they filmed, and it should be just a great, great television show.
Knoxville will be on it, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, if he's out of the hospital. So hopefully he's doing good and he can be there, and we can jab the knife in the back.
So when did he get hurt?
He was hurt filming. He was hurt. I'd say a week and a half. Week and a half ago. when we actually were doing all this stuff, he got hurt. I think it was February 8th. He got taken out.
Well, I didn't, you know, it's an exciting thing. You have a lot of passion for this, and you know, I wish you the best of luck. I mean, I know you don't need it for the tandem drum because you already did it.
Yeah, you know.
But I do want to talk to you when you're ready to do the 351. You got to come. You know, we got to work with you on Blog Talk Radio and get you in front of people and have you kind of participate and others to participate in this.
Yeah, you know, thank you so much for having me on, and I would love to do any, work with you or come on your radio show and blow your thing up and blow my thing up.
Yeah, sounds great. I'd like to wish you luck tonight, but although you don't know what you're going to confront, I don't envision the danger to be near what you encounter other parts of your life, but you're a great guy, Trigger.
All right, well, I really appreciate it, and thank you so much, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks for calling in. That was Trigger Gum, and a great guy who's just doing some wild things. And as everyone knows, I mean, I can't imagine doing these things myself, but there are people that do it. And you know what I like the fact, too, is that he's, he understands what Evel Knievel's place is in this industry. Evel's was... Look, someone when I was growing up, I admired and watched what he did, and he wants to keep the Evel Knievel dream alive. So we, that's really cool. So we wish Trigger the best of luck tonight on MTV at 6 to 9. You could also go and check him out at triggergum.com. That's triggergum.com, and Google him. He's, there's lots of stuff on him. And that's it for our show today. So once again, thank you. You can find this archive at blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. That's where you can find all of our shows. You can subscribe to them on iTunes. The Alan Levy Show could be found on iTunes as well. And it was an enjoyable afternoon, and thanks, everybody. Be well.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on The Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to The Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.